Okay, this is the second half of World Watches. It's tape number 645, April 23rd, 1984. And as I say, there is an article that I'm going to share with you in Time, April the 30th, 1984, with a picture of the man we're talking about so much, Robert Keith Gray. Now, there are 11 areas that he is important in that I know there may be more, but I want to run these down with you. Just throw out some ideas with you. Some have been documented that he does link to all these areas, and then speculate with what more is there to Robert Gray if you read anything about him, and I accumulated a lot about him. And you've heard me talk on other programs, but sometimes I want to catch you up on these and repeat them so it's clear. First, number one, his name is on the Cartergate papers. What are the Cartergate papers? That was the coaching of Ronald Reagan to become a president because he didn't know the information on his own. There are papers that read Casey, Meese, and Gray. One is a CIA director, and one wants to be the attorney general, and the other is Gray. His name is on those papers. Secondly, I've used quotations from the book Libyan Sandstorm, his role with the CIA and Edwin Wilson. That's why I gave the death of Wilson's witnesses, because those are Gray's witnesses to Task Force 157, which links to Bobby Inman, formerly of the National Security Agency and deputy director of the CIA, and George Bush, who was CIA director, and Henry Kissinger, who ran Task Force 157 with Edwin Wilson and Frank Turple. And, of course, that gang go down to the murder of Allende, Letelier, and Armin Gaddafi and Idi Amin with funds in the Guggenheim Bank. Gray is involved with the Cartergate papers and the Task Force 157. His name surfaced, and he was fairly quiet except for one or two references with Mrs. Meese when they found out that she had a hardship for money. And he arranged with the William Moss Foundation, and I'll be doing a lot more on that, for her to get $40,000 a year, and she still draws salary from that. And he put her as a trustee on the American University, which got the $90,000-plus grant to study pornography to get at Hustler, Playboy, and Penthouse. But the real one they want is Larry Flint and Hustler. So he writes articles about Mrs. Meese and Edwin Meese, and Mrs. Meese is on the trustee, and we'll be doing a lot on that. Great. Received money, a large hunk of money, from the William Moss Institute in Texas. He not only sends them a suggestion on how to get formed and what to do, but he puts Mrs. Meese at the American University and works with William Moss from Dallas and gets hunks of money from him. His name was on reports that he wanted Reverend Moon to get off in spite of all the evidence, and he's associated with that powerful group that wanted to use his CIA friends to get Reverend Moon off the charges. He recently hired General Alejandro, at Spanish, L-A-G-E-N-D-R-O, it's a quiet J, Orfila, O-R-F-I-L-A, which is causing a stir. He formerly was with the Organization of American Estates, the ambassador of Argentina to the United States for 25 years through all the Nazi military dictatorships and death squads. Orfila was hired by Gray, and he was making two salaries the first of the year. And now the OAS, the Organization of American States, has asked to investigate the last 9 years of Mr. Orfila. Again, it would go back to the task force and these various murders or the hanky-panky going on in Washington simultaneously with Argentina. They want to go into him now, and that is going on right now. They're very angry that he was drawing two salaries with Mr. Gray and with the Organization of American States, huge salaries simultaneously. He hired Frank Mankiewicz, who was formerly with National Public Radio, which I always thought was controlled by the CIA. Mankiewicz became vice president of Mr. Gray's organization, which is closest ties are with Paul Laxalt from Las Vegas, Nevada, the senator from Nevada, and the fundraiser for the GOP. It's identical to Mullen Associates. You can't separate the CIA money and the organized crime money in these offices, identical to the Mullen Associates with the YAF and the Mafia and so forth, the Vegas money. He put Mr. Frank Mankiewicz as a vice president of Gray, and Mankiewicz allegedly was a Kennedy Democrat or sympathetic to the Democrats. He's working with Mr. Gray. Mr. Gray is on the board of Helionetics, as I mentioned last week, with Admiral Teller from Western Goals, who works with the Los Angeles police, and the notorious John Reese. And I don't have to go into each of these things, but he works with William Simon is on the board with Mr. Gray, the chairman of the Olympics, and Admiral Hayward of Lytton Industry, and Lytton was the cover for the overthrow of the Greek democracy when they put in the military dictatorship with Spyro Agnew and Nazis from Greece, and it worked closely right with the CIA. Gray is involved with the Cartergate papers, the Task Force 157 with funding, the future attorney general's wife. You can imagine with counterintelligence operations how much the Justice Department investigates if the criminals fund the attorney general's wife and make their living better in Washington, D.C. And on the board of Helionetics that got the laser contracts for Daniel Graham of High Frontier, the partner of Fritz Kramer. He also represents the country of Haiti, which just came out in the last few weeks. And my very suspicious mind reminds me of the aides that came from Haiti. Mr. Gray's office opened in 1981, and think what's come out of Haiti in the last few years. And the aides and the interferon, the experiments on interferon to clear it, and Mrs. Meese with her associated biomedics firm in Buffalo and the pap smear firm in Los Angeles. And I believe that that was a disease to target the black, the homosexuals, to blame the blacks. So you do two things at one time. You hurt the homosexuals and you blame the blacks. So there's racism and genocide combined. And then spread it as a virus. And then pretty soon when enough people are hurt, you find a cure. You get the contract for the disease. You get the contract for the cure. They did all of this in Germany with experiments on diseases. And I have many books on these kinds of experiments. So I have to ask the question, if you represent the country of Haiti and Mrs. Meese, the woman that you are the benefactor of, and remember the whole Meese case broke open because of the $15,000 she gave biotech and Dr. Earl Bryan, but Edwin Thomas gave them between $50,000 and $100,000, their mentors. So there's a lot more to the AIDS, the interferon, and the biomedics and those labs. Because these past people were involved in medical experimentation and mind control. They have a past record of it, so why would it stop? He also represents the country of Turkey. Now, that's interesting if you think about this, and it isn't too hard to put this together. Mr. Aja from Turkey, from the Grey Wolves and the drug running, the man who was there at the Vatican to shoot the Pope, and Mr. Turple made broadcasts that are typed up of his role, knowing Aja and working with him, Frank Turple, who's a co-partner in the CIA with Edwin Wilson. So there's a new contract out on the Pope that was exposed this week, and I'll do a little more on that in a few minutes. Coming from the Nazi Grey Wolves, finally, it wasn't the KGB. It's the Nazi Grey Wolves and Mr. Carlos, the terrorist, who worked, again, with Western goals through Larry McDonald and Mr. George Habash and Fahud Habash and that terrorist group that massacred so many Jews in the Munich Olympic Games cycle. So Mr. Gray, and the finally, the last point of Mr. Gray in the Time magazine article tells about how he had Nancy Thurman on salary, the wife of Strom Thurmond, until there was some controversy. It said he did favors for Ursula Meese or helped Nancy Thurman, the wife of Senator Strom Thurmond. And he once put Mrs. Thurmond on his payroll. But there was criticism of potential conflict of interest, so she had to be off the payroll. Remember the scandalous stories of Strom Thurmond being the man in the Senate whose life dedication was to get John Lennon deported, and how Jack Anderson wrote articles how he was getting money from Turple, Wilson Turple organization, Strom Thurmond. Well, Wilson worked with Robert Gray in those offices that I said the Nugenhan Bank had a finger, I believe, in Hawaii with the travel agencies and sending Mark David Chapman on his way around the world before he ends up back in front of the Dakota Hotel to kill John Lennon. Mrs. Thurmond and these various people, the Turkish government, the Haiti government, Mr. Gray is a very important person. And there's more to him, but that's just a little bit, and that's why I'll be mentioning his name so much, because they're the areas that I've studied that overlap. And he seems to have a common denominator. He's right in there with all of them. Now, the article in Time magazine, in essence, tells about lobbyists that used to be discreet. This is the style of Time, of course. But Bob Gray prefers to enter by the front door and stay in the limelight. Now, none of you knew his name until Mrs. Meese came up and didn't have any money and needed a salary. You had to dig through books to find the name of Robert Gray. He wasn't that
common. Now they're saying he's out in front and has nothing to hide. That's their style, but he certainly wasn't a person, a household word. Mr. Gray, his name came up with Helionetics on the board or different things, but you had to have a pretty good eye to read the news to see it. And I only pulled out those old articles because of Edwin Meese and Edward Teller and the Los Angeles Police Department, and Gray's name was on there. It was not a household word. He's the founder of Gray and Company. They call it the Powerhouse out in Georgetown. This is his office. And it says he likes to be seen with pals in high places like William Casey and Paul Axalt. Well, they literally have the money. They have the death squads. They know what they're doing. And he's supposed to be an eligible bachelor that escorts cabinet wives around. And the article in Time goes into his hiring Mr. Orfea from the organization American States and how he got Mrs. Meese a job with a small foundation at $40,000 a year, an executive director at the American University, and she still has his post. And it goes into his brazenness with his offices and how he pushes himself to get special connections. He has connections pure and simple. Well, sure he has. If you come off of Task Force 157, you have Bobby Inman with the National Security Agency. You have Navy Intelligence, Edwin Wilson that swings from the CIA to the Marine. The cover-up, the Navy Intelligence, Marine private businesses, that really is the government. And it says that he continues to do favors. And the article gives a breakdown of his various connections with Turkey. It doesn't talk about Frank Turpel being at the Vatican there with Aja, and Aja coming from Turkey. But it's an article that, it's sort of a pudding article that covers him up. It doesn't say much. But it says he has a knack for cultivating the powerful of both parties. Well, so does Henry Kissinger. He butters up Hubert Humphrey and he butters up Nixon at the same time. And sure, it's both parties because one party is completely infiltrated. As a matter of fact, he has Frank Mankiewicz working with Gary Hart. So Mr. Gray knows phone calls and travel trips and where they are and what's going on. And he has a lot of power. And it tells how he worked for a publication, a firm known as Hill and Knowlton Incorporated. And he worked for them. And then in 1981, he built a company that within 2 years was earning $11 million. That has to be pure and simple defense money, CIA money, counterintelligence money. Casey and Reagan wanted to increase the budget, unlimited money. In 2 years, he has a firm. The election's going to come up in 84. And his name is on the old Korea Gate, not Korea Gate, the Carter Gate, Reagan papers, the debate papers, helping Reagan get that information along with these other sleazy people. And in 2 years, from a publishing firm, it doesn't tell what he did when he left the publishing firm, he comes up with $11 million and represents the government of Turkey. And it tells about his huge fees of $40,000 or $50,000 at the end of the month and $350 an hour. Well, he's a very important person because he touches all these bases. And how in the world do you think that PR guy, with the help of Nevada, with Paul Axalt and William Casey, who's been in the intelligence community since the OSS with William Donovan, how do you suppose he gets the big bucks? It's just that he works with Mrs. Meese and Mrs. Thurman and with all the people pushing to get Reagan elected and buttering up the future attorney general or the senator's wife. And they vote everything that he tells them to vote. And he got our Congress to raise the arms to Turkey more than they ever dreamt because he represents the government of Turkey. And if you know where the bodies are buried, the taxpayer can give him all the money. Now, along those lines of Robert Gray was a story. As a matter of fact, I don't take Time or Newsweek. I pick them up about once a month, the back copies. And I got word for that Newsweek had a story April 23rd, that's just a week ago, 1984, about Mr. Frank Turpel. That's the co-partner of Edwin Wilson and Gary Kirkle. And this is pertinent to the terrorism you're reading about, George Shultz and Ronald Reagan wanting this special committee on terrorism. And this is very important. The trail of U.S. guns to Poland. We were led to believe right away that the people were sending to behind the Eastern Bloc American guns to those communists. And all of a sudden, a story breaks, even printed in Newsweek. Ted Rubenstein found it and called me, a researcher up north who saw it. He said, did you see the one on Turpel yet in Newsweek? And I didn't see it. And this is the gist of the article, A Trail of Guns to Poland, which puts the perspective where the terrorism coming from. And you probably read about that rest. The article says there's a trail of U.S. guns going east. This was a gun-running operation with a twist. They all had a twist if you read the fine print. The United States Customs seized a shipment of 500 Connecticut-made automatic rifles, electronic devices used for torture, and a James Bond automobile Cadillac that squirts gas on the road so you can't follow it and has all kinds of gadgets. Fire starts and the smoke grenades come out of it and it crashes barricades. The Cadillac was going to Eastern Europe. The federal agents never encountered anyone trying to smuggle arms to the Soviet Union. This is the first time it went right behind the Soviet Union. Two men were arrested in New York, one Solomon Schwartz and the other's Leonard Berg. And when they arrested them, they found out that these were men who had dealings with officials of the United States Defense Intelligence Agency, the DIA. That's the one that Doberstein worked for. That is the one that Lieutenant General Graham was head of. The Defense Intelligence Agency, Waldo Doberstein, worked for that outfit. This case leads, according to the Newsweek story, into the murky Fellowship of International Weapons and Arms Merchants. You see, when they get caught red-handed and it links to the CIA and the Defense Department, it becomes a new twist or murky. But eventually they're going to have to face where these weapons come from. It said a grand jury subpoenaed Leon Lisbona, L-I-S-B-O-N-A, a security expert and an associate of Frank Turpel, former CIA employee charged with providing arms of torture equipment to Gaddafi and Idi Amin and others. Lisbona has an electronic store on Madison Avenue. He hasn't been charged, but he refused to answer inquiries because Lisbona and Turpel are friends of Gary Korkala, closely tied to Leonard Berg. Leonard Berg worked for the Defense Intelligence Agency, and these people are tied not only to the DIA, but the CIA. Berg and Lisbona had contacts with the CIA, so that originally one of the men who was arrested worked with the Defense Intelligence Agency, Leonard Berg, and then he worked with another gentleman who has not been arrested, but worked with the CIA. So you get those two agencies. Gary Korkala is in a jail waiting trial in New York for gun sales. Worked with Berg. Korkala and Berg worked with the Defense Intelligence Agency. Berg and Lisbona had contacts with the CIA. And then Newsweek said if a connection between the Polish smuggling and the notorious Turpel operations turns out to exist, the worldwide weapons trade will look more than ever like a tightly knit conspiracy. Keep in mind Turpel over there with Ajat when the Pope was shot. And keep in mind these operations, when the weapons are found, it goes right to agents of the DIA and the CIA. They asked the story in Newsweek, was this shipment part of a larger deal with Polish authorities? Of course not. These shipments are part of a counter-revolution like in Hungary or Czechoslovakia at the proper time to rise up against the Eastern Bloc and cause trouble. They said the Defense Intelligence Agency was listening to a tap line to a plot that was hatched by Schwartz and Berg, and they were talking about trying the United States government to get Soviet-built tanks, the T-7 tanks from Poland, so that they could study them and take them apart and study the tanks so the United States could send weapons there. When you first read it, you think that Americans, sympathetic to the Russians and the Polish communists, are sending weapons and were caught, and you find out that the American Defense Department, the CIA, are sending weapons there with all kinds of gadgets for other purposes. And the article says if American intelligence agencies were actively involved, the federal authorities would have arranged to delay the prosecution of Berg and Schwartz. Well, that's not necessarily true. We've had prosecutions of people in Watergaters and G. Gordon Liddy, and they serve their time, or Dwight Chapin, and they're on salary when they get out. They're wealthy and they get books published. It doesn't mean you're innocent because you're prosecuted, or Mr. Ehrlichman or Haldeman. It doesn't mean that at all, to think that you wouldn't try them, if there's no conspiracy, that's why they're being tried, is a bunch of BS, and Newsweek knows better, but they have to have a cover story on it. They said U.S. authorities suspect that the Poles eventually intended to send many of these weapons to sympathetic terrorists. Well, sure, the CIA did this. That's what Wilson and Turple and Corcoran did. They sent everything but atomic bombs, or maybe those, to Gaddafi and Idi Amin and Carlos, who's being looked for now. That's what they do. They set up terrorism so that they have a chance for a police state to crack down on terrorism. That was their real value. Now, along with the terrorism story, eventually the people who are investigating these things are going to have to come up with the same answers and conclusions on where the violence is coming from. And there was a story this week that was honest, just like the Newsweek story talks about the DIA and the CIA. This story has to do, and many of you saw it, the plot to kill the Pope was discovered. He's going to South Korea. And the Vatican discovered information that among the terrorist groups wanted is Turkey's neo-Nazi gray wolves and the notorious Venezuelan terrorist known as Carlos. Now, keep in mind that Robert Keith Gray, in his offices in Washington with Task Force 157, worked with Turple, Frank Turple, who worked with Aja and the Gray Wolves and the death squads that were trained in Beirut, Lebanon, and in Frankfurt, the narcotic traffic death squads. And Mr. Gray worked with Edwin Wilson, who, again, with Western Goals and the LAPD, and Larry McDonald and the far right wing that worked closely with Gray and Edwin Meese in that group. Carlos is part of the fabric of terrorism created out of Larry McDonald's down in Atlanta, Georgia, and Beirut, Lebanon, and with our intelligence agencies all over the world. As a matter of fact, there were articles written by Seymour Hersh in the New York Times. Remember those on Frank Turple and Wilson and Kevin Mulcahy on the boat with Samuel Cummings of the CIA supplying Carlos with weapons. Samuel Cummings with his offices in Monte Carlo and London, the largest arms supplier of the world. So Robert Keith Gray and Edwin Meese and Ursula Meese and the whole gang are not separate from what happened with the Vatican assassination attempt. Now, why would they want to kill the Pope if somebody like, say, Meese is a Catholic and the university down in San Diego is affiliated with is Catholic and our CIA are members of the Knights of Malta? If they could get rid of the Polish Pope, which they had wanted to do, or could get rid of him, say, in Korea, and blame the KGB and blame the Russians and the Bulgarians, it would be, as many articles said, an excuse to make war within and behind the Iron Curtain. And the Pope could be expendable because behind him, before he ever became Pope, was Pope Paul VI and the Banco Ambrosiano and the Milan Mafia and the problems of Paul Marcinkus. After all, he's not an Italian. He's an American from Cicero, Illinois, running the banks and up to his neck in trouble. And these people have oft witnesses that were onto their money schemes, their mafia schemes, their religious schemes. So Mr. Gray's office, he came out of the intelligence community where Wilson and Turple were hatched, and they worked closely with Aja of the Nazi Gray Wolves and Carlos, who came from that group, linked directly to the LAPD Western Goals John Reese Terror Network. Now, Claire Sterling wrote a book on the terror network before these shootings took place, and Michael Ledeen works with Georgetown University, and they could make a martyr of a man who is in position to be killed. First, they gave him the most massive television coverage that any pope ever got, and he's very photogenic, and he could travel all over with his cape blowing in the wind and kissing the earth and the white outfit against the blue sky and kissing the babies and all of these wonderful things, and then kill him and knock him down. Now, it didn't work the first time, but somebody, maybe they weren't supposed to blow the connections, but they're saying the information was the Nazi Gray Wolves, and that's exactly who tried it before. That's what Aja was part of the plot to kill the Pope. And it's important to note that somebody picked up the intelligence. Maybe they didn't want it to happen this time, and they're linking it directly to the same gang. Even though the Pope goes in and says, I forgive you, let's have a talk, they still are getting a little anxious, maybe some people, that it could happen again and make him a martyr finally once and for all and end some of the banking scandal, because you wouldn't kick a dead horse, and maybe Italy would be easier on the Vatican Bank. There are a lot of reasons for doing it, but the fact that the real culprits were shown possible again that they're doing it and didn't do it the first time is very important. Now, there's a story in the Washington Post, April 13th, about Robert Keith Gray's office, called Fired Gray and Company Officer Claims Bias. This is a lawsuit by Barry Zorthian, Z-O-R-T-H-I-A-N, and he's filed it with the Office of Human Rights. He said that he was illegally fired as senior vice president of Gray and Company by the officials of the Turkish government that Mr. Robert Gray represents because he had been in California with Governor George Duke Manian, and had our governor, and had met with Ronald Reagan, the president, to talk about Armenian Americans and to remember the Armenian Americans. And the Turkish government sent information over to their agent, Robert Keith Gray, and said, fire this man, and he can date the day that he met with these people and what happened. And this is a perfect example of a foreign country, a military dictatorship, giving money to a lobbyist who says, they say, fire him. I don't like that he meets with Armenians. He can be an Armenian and meet with another Armenian or give an article to an Armenian press. Now, the importance of Western goals in Los Angeles and the blacklisting and the suit coming up is the continuity of Senator Joe McCarthy with Nazis in Germany, blacklisting in the United States, publishers, movie producers, writers, giving the list to Louise. She had a different name then. She married John Reese. She was McCarthy's secretary. She became the secretary for Larry McDonald. And blacklisting people that you don't like. This man was getting $65,000 a year. And a government, a dictatorship like Turkey, can tell them, fire him. So in comes Mr. Orfea from Argentina and Frank Mankiewicz, who was formerly representing public radio when it wasn't public, and I always said it was infiltrated with people that very carefully controlled the programs, and they said, you're fired, Mr. Zorthian. Turkey doesn't like you meeting with Armenians. In the country of free speech, the dictatorship is dictated by military dictatorships put in overseas, run in a company of espionage and counterintelligence, of murder, of betrayal. Robert Keith Gray had his finger. I gave you 11 pieces of the pie, and we'll do details on a lot more of them. Now, in the last minute, we have 1 minute to go. I want to mention an article that I had about a former agent that worked with Edwin Wilson, who was arrested, Wallace L. Klink, K-L-I-N-K, who supplied guns for Gaddafi and Idi Amin. He was arrested. This was in 1982. His offices were in Alexandria, Virginia. He procured the guns in North Carolina. He said they were for the CIA, and he always thought they were for the CIA. Alexandria, Virginia, may be a big town or a little town. I've never been there, but that's where Western Gold's offices is. This is the headquarters of John Reese. This is the headquarters of Edwin Wilson, who worked very closely and with the offices of Henry Kissinger and Bobby Idman and Robert Keith Gray, who became the benefactor, and I got into this Gray thing because of a lot of different reasons, but also is the generous person who supplies Mrs. Meese with her means to make the bread and butter going there while he hopes to be our attorney general. A fine kettle of violence, terrorism, counterintelligence, death squads, killing witnesses to protect their own base. These are our high society in Washington, D.C. And in 1 minute, I just want to take a disclaimer. This is KAZU in Pacific Grove, California. And I want to say, instead of putting the card on, that I am responsible for whatever is said on this station. That there is not, the station is not responsible for what I say. We usually have the card on at this time, but I'll take responsibility on that. Now, Paul is in New Orleans to hear some nice jazz. And he's supposed to be here. He has a replacement coming in tonight. I remember one night, it was Labor Day weekend, and he didn't come in. And I called frantically to people on the station. I had to leave in town the next morning to go away early in the morning. And I was saying, well, you know, come on here. And my daughter was home from college, and she loves to play disc jockey anyway. She loved it, and she put on music for you. So if Paul's replacement isn't here, and I don't have to go to L.A. tomorrow, you may hear Mae Bressel putting on some music. I could put on the switchboard and take calls, but maybe I'll put on some music. You've heard enough of me for an hour and a half, and I don't want to fry your brains. I have the feeling half the time when I'm doing the research now that so many articles are interlocking and connecting that it's not confusing to me, and I hope it's clear to you, and that's why I'm repeating some of these names, but I hope that it doesn't get confusing to you. And as you hear them more, they'll become more familiar. Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to take a one-second airtime. We don't have dead airtime here. You're not supposed to do that. But I don't. I have to run and pick something off the shelves for you until my replacement comes. How do you like that? So I will look around the room and see. I'll take one, and while that's playing, I'll have time to study it. Does that sound okay? Hold the line now. I'm just going to grab a song. When I first came in, there was a record here, Baroque, Triumph, and Organ, but that's too dismal. That sounds like a dirge of death. So you hang in there, and then I'll call. Oh, we can't call out. The phone here in the station doesn't work, so maybe I'll give you a number to call and ask. I didn't get the name of who was replacing Paul. Let me see. Call. Who should we call? Jeff Helwig, 624-8661. I think Barbara's out for the evening, the station manager. She's out tonight, so maybe Jeff would know who's coming in, but I doubt it. I'll go over and find something mellow for you now. Hang in there. This is KAZU FM in Pacific Grove, California. Well, let's see what we want here. We want something pretty. Let's see what I can get for you. I want something mellow. Country? What do I want? I'll pull a something mellow for you. Well, no, I didn't pull what I like. You got to hold the line one more minute. I wasn't prepared for a backup. You don't mind. Okay, here's the phone. Let's see who's supposed to come in. Hello? Yes. Yes.